Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are one game into the NBA final, and it really wasn't all that competitive. First quarter, maybe, but the Warriors started to open up things in the second, and then it never got close in the second half as they grab a 1-0 lead in the NBA final over the Cavs. We want to talk about that, maybe a little comparison between the Cavs star and his former teammate, and we'll also get his take on Adam Silver mentioning this week that they may need to rethink the age with which they let players come into the NBA. He does a podcast with NBA insider Rick Bucher. Former standout 11-year veteran in the NBA and all-star B.J. Armstrong joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. B.J., Jody Mack here in New York. How are you, bud?
I'm doing very well, and I appreciate you, and thank you for having me on the show.
My pleasure. No, thank you for joining us. How are you enjoying the podcast world?
I really enjoy it. I enjoy every aspect of the game itself and, you know, playing this game ever since I've been a kid. And so to have an opportunity to play it, watch it, you know, work in the front office, work as an agent, and then be able to talk about it. It's great. So I enjoy the podcast, and I enjoy, you know, always talking about the game of basketball.
You touched down on a bunch of different fields, as you mentioned, and we'll get your expertise on all of those over the next 10 minutes or so here. You're a former Golden State Warrior. Most people think of you as a Chicago Bull because that's where you won your championships and play with Michael and Scotty and the like. But you did spend some quality time in Golden State. Is that your rooting interest here, one of your former teams?
Well, I did spend time out there, and I have a couple clients on the team. So actually three clients on the team. And Draymond Green, JaVale McGee, and Klay Thompson. So I am rooting for the Warriors because of the clients that I have. I don't have any, you know, current clients there on the Cavaliers. And I did play out there, as you mentioned. So they have a great fan base. What a wonderful area to live in. And San Francisco, Oakland, the whole Bay Area is just it's a phenomenal sports environment, and I really enjoy my time playing out there.
Now, you played there. They're still playing in the same building that you played in. The Oracle's been there forever, and they are building a new facility across the bay over in San Francisco, which I'm sure with all the amenities is going to be a great arena, but there's something to be said for the Oracle, that it is one of the toughest places to play. How much do you think the Warriors will lose when they do make the move to their new digs?
Well, you know, I think the people that, you know, live in the area, you know, it's the Bay Area, but I think they will lose a little something moving over to San Francisco, you know, because Oakland is Oakland. You know, it has its own vibe. It has its own identity. And, you know, when you come into Oakland, you definitely know you're in Oakland and you know when you're in San Francisco. And you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. You know, when you go to Oakland, it's blue collar. I mean, it's a working mentality. You know, it reminds me. I'm from Detroit. You know, I get that same type of feeling. You know, where people just want to get after it. They want to, you know, roll up their sleeves and really get after it. You know, San Francisco is its own city. It has its own vibe and has its own feel. So, but I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. You know, it is the same area, but you know, Oakland is Oakland, and anyone who's lived out there appreciates it. And appreciate what the Bay Area has to offer.
B.J. Armstrong here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Talking NBA Final, and I do want to ask him about what Adam Silver said this week about the age limit for players before they can get into the NBA. But on the game one in Oakland the other night, you mentioned a couple of guys that you represent in that are on the Warriors squad. None of them are named Kevin Durant. It was like Moses parting the Red Sea on a couple of his plays in that game. I understand the Cavs were probably coached, hey, You got to get out on Clay. You got to get out on Steph. We can't just give up three after three after three. But a slam dunk right down the middle isn't good defense either. And they just allowed Durant get to the rim at will on a couple of occasions in that game. Were you surprised by the Cavaliers' defense?
Well, in a game one, it's kind of a fill-out game. You know, if you're the visiting team, you try to have the approach or the mental approach to that part of the series. I got two games to get one. And what I was surprised about in game one was how many open shots there were on both teams. Both teams had a lot of open shots, but I think that's a byproduct of the way the game is being played today. I mean, as you mentioned, the three-point shot is definitely a weapon that you have to be aware of. And you see teams now, they really guard the three-point line. So if you watch an NBA game and you watch the finals, there's four things going on. There's the three-point shot, there's layups, there's getting to the free throw line, and then there's dunks, okay? And there's no more mid-range. There's no more posting up, you know, trying to draw double teams. You know, you're doing one of those four things. The way the Warriors play, you have to guard them at the three-point line. They have bigs now, in particular JaVale McGee, who plays vertical. So you have to guard him every time he sets the screen, which puts an enormous amount of pressure to either stay at home, allow him to get a lob, or Steph Curry, these guys are coming off, they're getting wide open looks. So I think the Cavaliers will make adjustments. I think it takes a game or two just to get used to it. And if I remember correctly last year, I think they lost the first two games there in Golden State as well. But they came back and had an enormous and a huge game in game three. So I think they will make their proper adjustments, but it's going to take time to get used to.
Fair enough. Agree or disagree with this stance? No matter how big a Cav fan you are, no matter how much you love LeBron and Kyrie, and it's not like I'm not saying the Cavs aren't athletic and can't get up and down the floor. They just can't do it as well as the Warriors. No one can do it as well as the Warriors. They're the best up-and-down team in the NBA. I thought the game was played much too quickly for Cleveland. That they, in part, because they played as fast as they did, they allowed Golden State to do what Golden State does best. I think game two, you got to try and take the air out of the ball some and slow it down a little bit, yay or nay.
Well, I think that's very difficult to do. I think it's probably easier said than done. You know, that's a tough group to really slow down because they have so many weapons. I mean, they have four guys that's capable of getting 30 points in a game. I mean, you have Clay, you have Steph, you have Kevin, and you have Draymond. And they just have so many weapons that they can attack you with. Screen roll, turnovers. They can score in half court. And more importantly, they can play mismatch basketball. And they're always looking for the mismatch in the way they play. So I think it's easier said than done. I think they're going to have to get the right combinations on the floor. And they come at you in waves. I mean, you can't forget about Andre Iguodala, who comes off the bench and wins, you know, MVP of the finals. So they have a lot of weapons they can go to. And it just puts an enormous amount of pressure. But I think everyone's trying to figure it out, but no one's figured it out yet.
BJ, let me be the 7,642nd person to ask you a comparison between your former teammate Michael Jordan and LeBron James. The debate rages, will continue to rage until LeBron decides that he's not going to play anymore. But as he advances his career, the comparison changes and the perspective can be altered a little bit. Are they in the same conversation? Are they in the same neighborhood? Are they in the same zip code? Are they in the same pew? How do you describe comparing LeBron James to Michael Jordan?
Well, you know, I just look at the essence of who they are and what they both bring to the game, right? They both have an impact on winning. What LeBron has achieved, let's, like, you know, compliment him, but more importantly, admire what he's done in his career thus far. You know, he's still playing. What Michael did speaks for itself, and they both had an enormous impact on winning. If you want to compare the two, it's not really fair to compare them because they have two different mentalities in the way they approach the game. You know, Michael Jordan was a scorer. He was a finisher. That's what he did. Michael Jordan finished the game. You know, the game was close, Michael was going to finish it. If the game was within eight, you knew he was going to find a way to get 9 points to win that game. He was a finisher. He was a scorer. That's what he did. LeBron James, on the other hand, is a facilitator. LeBron James is going to make the right play. He's going to make the right pass. He's going to incorporate the aspect of team. Not that Michael didn't do that. It's just that, that's more LeBron James' personality and his impact on the game itself. Doesn't make it better. Doesn't make it worse. They both had tremendous records as far as what they were able to achieve and as far as playing, but Michael was a dominant personality as far as what he was going to do. There was no doubt who was going to take the last shot of a game. There was no doubt that he was going to shoot as many times necessary to win. Now, we must also remember that it took Michael Jordan 7-8 years before he was able to figure out the formula to incorporate his skill set into the team framework, which is a little different than LeBron. I think LeBron made it to the finals in year 3 or 4, even though they got swept. He was there. He figured it out. And I think both of them are phenomenal athletes. You know, LeBron is clearly, you know, the kid is like 6'8", 250 at least. You know, and they both had an enormous impact on winning. But Michael Jordan, without question, was a scorer, which makes him a totally different player than LeBron James. Not that LeBron James can't score. It's just that Michael really perfected the art of scoring and finishing the game from that perspective, which I think makes him very unique. Because up until that time, we had never built a team around a two guard, especially a guard who would score with the capabilities of Michael Jordan as an offensive player.
A little bit different way to look at it from B.J. Armstrong here with us on CBS Sports Radio. All right, B.J., as you mentioned, you are representative for a bunch of NBA players. All of them, or I shouldn't say all of them, I don't know your entire client list, but most of them, probably if not all of them, went to college for a period of time. Adam Silver this week decided to talk about maybe revisiting the amount of time a player has to wait before he gets into the NBA. We've gone through periods where you could come straight in from high school. We are right now, your high school graduation class has to be at least a year gone by. You got to be 19 years of age to come in. Silver is suggesting that they may need to push that back another year and make it more like 20. He acknowledges the union would probably prefer to push it up and go back to what it used to be, that you could, if you so chose, to come out of high school. As a guy who's an agent and has to deal with the union plenty, because you're representing the players, the union representing the players as well, how big a deal is this going to become before the next collective bargaining agreement?
Well, the big thing here is what I would like to see is the incorporation of all people at all levels, right? You know, as an NBA player, I was so far removed from the high school scene that I really didn't have an understanding of the environment, the needs of these kids. But more importantly, you know, you can't put every kid into the same category. So, you know, we can look, for instance, LeBron James didn't go to high school, but he's clearly the best player in the world right now. But we can't also put every kid into LeBron James category because we have to address the needs of our kids. But more importantly, look at it as a unique individual. You know, every player is different. So we got to look at that individual and what he needs. So what I would like to see is, yes, let's have the NBA. Yes, let's have the NCAA. Yes, let's have agents. Yes, let's have high school coaches. Let's have a group of people that have the best interest of the kids at hand, and let's try to come up with the best solution we can, because you can't just group everyone into the same category. You know, there was the late Moses Malone. There's LeBron James. There's Kobe Bryant. There's Kevin Garnett. But some kids need to go to school. Some kids don't need to go to school. So I don't think there is a perfect solution, but I would love to be at the table where everyone has a voice and everyone can at least express their concerns and everyone can try to address their concerns as best they can, so that we can have an overall environment which incorporates, let's do what's best for our kids and our kids, not just as basketball players, but as people. And that's the most important thing.
All right, BJ, last thing. I'm going to propose a scenario to you. You tell me who would say, no, that doesn't work for us. I think what baseball has in place right now would work perfectly for basketball. In baseball, you can be drafted after your senior year as a high school player. You can choose to go directly into professional baseball. Now, they have a minor league system. The NBDL is certainly not the same as minor league baseball, but they have at least the makings of it in basketball as well, and it could be reformatted and redone and retooled so that it works even better. But if you want to come out after high school, you can. You forego your college eligibility because you're no longer a amateur. But if you want to take that risk, you believe you're being advised, you think you could be the next LeBron James, that's on you. You can make yourself available for the draft. If you choose not to, you have to go to college, a four-year college, major university, play in the NCAA tournament for 3 years. Those are the rules in baseball now. You can be drafted as a high school senior or a college junior or senior. That, to me, seems to work for everybody. It's the young man's choice when he comes out of high school. If not, you're committed. You've got to stay 3 years. The colleges would like it. The NBA would like it because they'd be getting a lot more guys who are juniors and seniors rather than freshmen or sophomores as they have now. Which party would say no to that solution?
Well, you know, look, the average lifespan of an NBA player is like 3 to 4 years. So, in the end, the one thing that needs to be addressed is everyone has the right to do what they feel is best for them. And if it's going to be a situation where, you know, we're going to make a kid go to school for 3 years, you know, or make a kid or a kid has to come out now, whatever it is, then just have a free market and people can bet on themselves and do what they need to do. In the end, I want to just share this with our listeners is, the teams have the right to draft or pick whoever they want to pick. They don't have to pick a kid just because he's available. You know, so I think the one thing that is, if anything, we can do a better job, and I mean the adults and the people that's in this business, is how we evaluate these kids. Because in our sport, I can't speak for baseball, in our sport, in basketball, college basketball is a totally different game than professional basketball. It's a totally different game. Some of the best players in our league, you know, whether it's Draymond Green was drafted at 35, the kid Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think I'm pronouncing it, hope I'm pronouncing
you're close.
Name correct,
you're close
drafted,
enough.
Yeah. Giannis was drafted 13th. You know, we're, you know, the big thing in our business now is everyone says shooting. We looking for shooting. Well, why was Steph Curry drafted 7 then? Why was Klay Thompson drafted 10th? Why was Kobe Bryant drafted 13th? So in the end, how we evaluate, I think we can all do a better job of evaluating our players because we have different games going on. College basketball doesn't translate to professional basketball. High school and AAU basketball are totally different games. The international game is a totally different game than we're watching right now. So I think the evaluation process is where we should start because – one, you know, how many times do you hear this? This guy's the number one ranked player in high school, or he's the number one ranked player in college. That doesn't mean anything up here. It means absolutely nothing. Isaiah Thomas, who currently plays for the Boston Celtics, he was the last pick in the draft. So clearly there's something we're missing up here that doesn't translate. How do we miss an all-star who averages 20, whatever he averages? How did every team miss him? How do we miss Draymond Green? How do we miss Steph Curry? How do we miss these players over and over and over again, but we continuously put so much emphasis on numbers? Well, he's got to stay for 2 years. He's got to stay for 3 years. He's got – because we don't have a way to evaluate these kids from at the college level. It's a totally different game. And anyone who's played professional sports will tell you in basketball, whatever I did in college – does nothing at the pro level.
Understood, but if you can't judge a kid coming from college, how the hell are you going to judge a kid coming from high school?
Exactly. And that gives us an opportunity to educate our kids so that kids can make the proper decisions based on the information we have, which is we have to inform our kids, just because you're the number one player in college doesn't mean that you will be the number one player or that star player that we all dream of being in the professional ranks, which will have an enormous impact on your life not only when you get into the NBA, but possibly you'll be out of the NBA 2 or 3 years later. So, again, the big thing is allowing everyone to have a voice. I think that's a, you know, you gave a suggestion, but everyone should have a voice who has actually participated, because there are a lot of things that need to be addressed. And one is how we evaluate these kids so that we can even give them the proper information to make such a powerful decision. Well, how are you going to make a decision based on the information that we have when we have player after player after player that is not even being properly evaluated? How are we even evaluating the kids to even give them the information on who should come out and who should stay? I question the whole system, but I think it's one that we all need to sit down and talk about and discuss.
BJ, great stuff. We appreciate you coming on board. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.